Hello and welcome back to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive minute by minute into Frank Herbert's world of Dune, specifically the movie version. I'm one of your hosts, Zach.
And I'm John.
All right, John, we're back. We're back at it. We were talking about minutes six and through seven. I don't have a starts and ends joke for this one, so we're just going to dive right into it. What do you think?
Man, you're really slacking this time. But
yeah, well, I have a lot more to say later, so we'll be okay. I'll make up for it.
This is going to be a thick episode, so oh, yes. we're going to have a lot to talk about. So last episode, we ended our minute looking at the image of a still suit on a piece of paper that Paul's looking at while he's listening to his podcast, as it were, about Arrakis. We hear right at the start of this minute that only the native tribes known as the Fremen are able to survive the harsh reality that is Arrakis.
They're just adding more Chekhov's guns to the table.
Exactly. It's just more and more and more. One thing that, before we get too far away from the book though, this is the first time that we see Galak.
Oh yeah.
In the movie, which is the in-universe, I guess, common language.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we obviously hear English. I guess you'd call it basic in Star Wars. It's what they speak. Just speak basic.
Common in any other.
Yeah. You know, the common tongue in, Lord of the Rings. No.
Just any other fantasy. It's always just referred to as common.
Common tongue. Okay. Yeah. I was thinking of Game of Thrones specifically, but yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So Gaelic.
Gaelic is Irish. Yeah. Which has influence on Galak. I mean, Galak is, and this is, you know, I'm pulling from the amazing people that maintain the Dune Wiki, which, first of all, shout out to all of them because it's a lot of work. Oh, yeah. But it's a evolution of Anglo-Slavic languages, which could include anything from English to Gaelic to like Germanic languages to everything in like Southeast Europe in those Slavic nations.
Okay.
So it's kind of all over the place.
So just thinking forward a little bit.
Yeah.
We do get Mandarin later in the movie.
Yep.
So I wonder if things have been kind of condensed down into.
I don't know, because we got to remember we're like, what, 30,000 years in the future.
Sure. Sure.
Or more. Like we don't really know exactly. It's a long time. Even though the movie says, you know, 10-191, that's 10-191 after the founding of Space and Go.
Yeah, yeah. So, all right, cool. Well, so all English or Germanic, Anglo, what would you call it? Anglo?
It's Anglo-Slavic
language. Anglo-Slavic language. So, okay. So they've been condensed into Galak.
Yeah. It's a cool alphabet if you like pause and look at it too.
Sure.
It's kind of really unique. I don't have the name of the person that came up with all of the languages, but if I remember correctly, it's the person that did like all of the languages for Game of Thrones and stuff like that. I think we talked about it in the first episode too with the
Sardaukar. The Dothraki.
Yeah.
The same person who did Sardaukar did like what the Dothraki language
and yeah. Valyrian and stuff like that.
So. Nice. Well, hey, they did that part of Game of Thrones. Great.
Can't really say much about the rest of the end, but you know what?
We get a Shai Hulud mention, John.
Well, we do, but before we get a Shai Hulud mention, you're stepping on my toes here, Zach.
Why? What did I miss?
As the recorder's discussing the Fremen, we get our first image of, well, not our first image, but we get an image of some Fremen in a full standing position for the first time. Because the first time we see them, we see Jamis laying prone.
Oh, yeah.
With the laser gun.
Yeah.
So we don't see like a full still suit on a person, but in this moment we do. And we see, you know, that the Fremen not only have their still suits, but they have their, you know, their famous Chris knives and everything across them as well. And then we get our first mention of Shai Hulud.
The old man of the desert. I love that. Yeah, I got Shai Hulud first mention in my notes here. We continue to get some other characteristics of the Fremen. And this was something that when I heard this, when the first time I watched the movie, I heard it, I was like, oh, that's really cool. I was not expecting this, but it was really neat that they mentioned the eyes of Ibad.
Yeah. The blue within blue.
Blue within blue eyes. That is something that is said often in the books. I really did not think they would put this in the movies just because it's like there's no backstory or a really reason to.
I think it just adds to the mysticism of like maybe not the mysticism, but the unknown of the Fremen.
Sure.
You know?
Sure. I personally thought it was a nod to the book readers.
Oh, definitely. I mean,
it's just like, sure. Hey, here's a little bit for you.
Yeah.
Here's something. If you're a book reader, this is going to be something you really like.
A little morsel for you. Yeah.
And if you don't, if you have never read the books, you're not even going to notice it. So yeah, that was really cool.
Sure.
The characteristic blue within blue eyes of the Fremen. I was thinking about, you know, why do they have that? It's cool. It looks awesome. It's visually striking. But you know, it's where the whites of your eyes turn blue and the irises turn blue.
The sclera. That's the white of your eyes.
Okay.
Yeah. Learned something new today.
Didn't want to.
Well. All right.
I was thinking, I was like, okay, so this is probably like a blue light filter. Like it acts as a natural blue light filter. So if you're out in the desert, and it takes that glare away and you probably helps you see better in the harsh sunlight.
Sure, but we know that the eyes of Bad are created due to the exposure to spice that they have. So like,
which is only found on Arrakis.
Sure. But like, if you look at humanity today, people that have historically lived in desert regions don't have that. So like,
yeah, that's true. And they do also do have a very spice heavy diet in current days.
Yeah.
Fuck it. Well, no, what are you talking about?
Shut up. Fuck
you. I don't know. I was just trying to rationalize it away. I didn't come across any actual reasons for the blue within blue eyes. So that's just my headcanon there. Regardless of what the actual reason is, it looks pretty cool.
Yeah. No, I mean, it looks a lot better than it did in the 80s, but of course, you know, visual, you know.
Sure.
Visual effects are a lot better than they were in the 80s, too.
Yes, absolutely. We get another brief Chani here right after this. I swear, we keep saying this. We need to start counting these brief Chanis. We've got to be up to 5 at least already. But, so... let's talk a little bit about spice.
Yes. So the recorder says, first and foremost, it is the most important thing in the known universe.
Yeah.
For a lot of reasons. One, to the Fremen, it's a sacred hallucinogen to them, and apparently has crazy health benefits. Extending life beyond
geriatric properties, they call it
geriatric
properties. That's what they say, geriatric properties.
Do we know? So, like, we know at this point, human lifespan is well into the, I wouldn't say mid hundreds, but low hundreds.
I don't know.
It's a lot longer than it is now.
I think it's safe to assume that it is longer, absolutely, and especially if you have a spice rich diet.
Yeah.
You get those geriatric benefits of, you know, extended life. I don't think it would be out of reason to assume that, you know, the Fremen's natural lifespan would be, you know, plus 100, you know, 100 plus years.
Old people.
provided the desert doesn't kill them.
Well, I mean, that's why they have their still suits.
So. Right. So but, yeah, this little bit here. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, but the audiobook. I keep on forgetting what it's called.
The film book.
Yes. The film book also does tell us in this moment too, that it Spice is incredibly important to the Imperium, specifically to the Spacing Guild.
Yeah. Yeah. So
when Spacing Guild,
so this part of the movie, I was not expecting.
Okay.
In the books, the true nature and importance of Spice, is a little cloudy. It's not super known. That's one of Paul's revelations later on in the story, is that he learns, oh, that's why Spice is so important. So for the movie to just kind of give it to us right at the beginning, I get it. Because, you know, the rest of the story, it fits into the rest of the narrative for sure. But it was I was kind of like, no, what are you doing? We're supposed to find that out later.
Yeah, but you got to give the wider audience a reason to, like, sure, care about Spice. Because otherwise, like, people that don't you have a understanding of Dune going into it otherwise could be like, yes, why the fuck do I give a shit? And then you're gonna lose people. Like, I'm sure they did like A/B testing and like,
oh, for sure. Well, it's better script writing.
Yeah.
And yeah, I have to remind myself that movies are not books.
Exactly.
You cannot have the same narrative structure in a movie as you can in a book.
You don't have time to fill out a, you know, 20 page description of, you know, a person's house in a movie.
Right. So I understood it. It took me a little bit off guard the first time I heard it, but I think overall, obviously, it was a good decision. It's a great movie. It fits right in. That tidbit is not super important for us to find out at the end of the story. With the script that they wrote and how they are telling the story, it's not important for us to know that at the end. We can know that now and be just fine. So why not? Yeah, so you mentioned the Spacing Guild earlier. It is super, super important for the Spacing Guild, especially for the Navigators. So when you take Spice, if you are of a certain abilities, if you have like certain natural abilities, having a heavy Spice diet will accentuate your ability to see a little bit into the future. This term is called prescience in the book.
Got it.
Spelled prescience, which is fun. So prescience. So what the navigators do is like they start to look just slightly into the future as they're driving their ships and say, oh, we better course correct because we're going to go into the middle of the sun if we keep going this direction.
So this is the one time where getting high before driving is the smart thing to do.
Yeah. I don't know if DUIs or DWIs exist in the Dune universe. Must be nice. Just kidding. Do not drink and drive.
Guild navigators are just fucked up behind the wheel. They're just like, hey. I'm sure that prolonged Spice exposure is great for their health, too. At the quantities that guild navigators receive.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later. It is not.
Spoilers.
So we cut from this, from Paul listening to his audiobook, over to the Highliner.
We do. I love the way that it entered. I love the way that we see it for the first time too, because we have that top down view looking down at Caladan, and we just see from the bottom left hand corner this what looks like just a regular sized ship.
Yeah.
Just kind of like come into the frame. And then we get a cut to how big it actually is, because we see a smaller ship coming out of the front of it. And then at the end of this minute, we realize that small ship coming out of the Highliner is not a small ship. It's fucking huge. So
Before we move too far away from this, I wanted to talk about highliners, because highliners, this is exactly what my note says. Highliners are dope. And then I have four sub bullets underneath that.
Go for it.
Well, first, do you ever, it reminds me of like the straw you would get when you get like a milkshake. It's not a normal straw.
Except like when you get boba.
Yeah, it's like the big old fat straw. Yeah. Right? That's what it kind of reminded me.
I love that it kind of looks like a sandworm.
Yeah. Yeah. I never put those two together.
Yeah.
Yes, highliners are dope. They are basically the cargo ships of the universe. They take people where they need to go via the Spacing Guild. In this movie, it seems like they operate by like just existing in a place and ships fly through them to get to one place to the other. It's kind of what it seems like here.
Yeah.
Highliners, they take people wherever they need to go, if they can pay for it, of course.
Sure.
It's very expensive to be able to travel via the Spacing Guild. So
you got to pay for all those drugs somehow.
It's true. Spice is the most valuable substance in the universe. The Spacing Guild itself is described as the wings of the Imperium. It's mentioned in the encyclopedia as that's kind of their role in this whole universe. So they are the shipping company.
But they're not under the direct control of the Emperor himself.
No, they are their own entity. But yeah, if you want to like boil it down to its most simplistic terms, they are a shipping company. And as people who work for a shipping company, that's I feel a strong connection to them. they transport anyone. Like I said earlier, they transport anyone who's able to pay for it. That and would include people who are at war with each other. So if two warring factions need to get to the same area, they will be put on the same ships. Now there's a rule.
Okay.
So as they transport your army or your ships or whatever, you cannot leave your ship when you're on a Spacing Guild Highliner. So you can park inside.
Hope you went to the bathroom before you left.
Well, I'm assuming your ship would have bathrooms. You've seen the size of things.
I mean, you would assume, but.
But yeah, you can park inside. And while you're inside the Highliner, you do not leave. If you break the Spacing Guild rules, you could lose your privileges for traveling.
You're basically stuck on one planet for the rest of your life.
Yep.
Nerd.
And that's not something anyone wants.
No.
But yeah, so say two people or two planets, houses, whatever, they're warring with each other. They could be potentially put on the same Highliner. The Highliner would park a safe distance away from the area that's in conflict, let everyone out, and then they can go do their war things, and the Spacing Guild remains neutral.
I just love the idea of like being stuck in traffic, and like the guy next to you is road raging like a motherfucker, but knowing that he can't do anything until both of you get to your destination.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're just looking at this guy who's pissed off, and he's just like having a fit behind the wheel, and is like, "Oh, hi."
We'll talk about this later, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, people respect the rules. You know, they respect the rules of the Spacing Guild because they want to keep traveling. They don't want to be stuck on a single planet.
Look, the Spacing Guild has a monopoly on this shit, and you don't fuck with that.
Yeah. So, just a little bit of backstory on the Spacing Guild. You mentioned it earlier. A tiny little speck flies out of the Highliner.
Yeah.
And flies over Caladan. We get another sense of the just absolute wonder of scale in this movie. Because we do see that that ship start. Do we see the ship start to land in this? Okay, so we see that same ship, that little speck, start to land on Caladan, and you can see, as John said, it is not a small thing.
Paul is looking up at it, and when he's looking up, he's looking like straight up at it.
Yeah, it is so massive.
But that's where we end with Paul looking straight up into the sky, like he's gonna fucking pull something in his neck.
Cool. Well, yeah, that's any other notes you had?
Nothing for this minute. I mean, this is a dense minute.
Yeah. A lot of important, like, again, as with all of these ones we're going to be talking about this week, a lot of important themes and concepts are introduced. The movie's doing a good job. If you're a person that's brand new to this world, it's the movie's doing a very good job of carrying you through the story. And giving you the information that you need to know to make sense later. But, you know, we're here to give the little bit of a historical context and book context and, you know, some more backstory that would help your viewing pleasure. So, yeah, a lot of important stuff in this minute.
Yeah. Plus, so one of my favorite shots from this minute, too, is like at the start of the movie, saw spice. It was one of the very first things that we saw other than the desert itself. But we saw it just kind of like in the wind as like these little sparkly flakes and stuff. But this is the first time that we see it like in earnest.
Yeah.
And we just see like this little pile of it. Mm. I just thought that was such a cool shot where you see like the person like take a fat pinch of some spice.
Did you watch the Book of Boba Fett? Or have you? I know you watched it.
I didn't watch.
You didn't?
No.
Ah.
I started getting that Disney like Star Wars burnout and shit.
Sure, sure. They can't explain everything.
After
Andor, probably. I know you watched Andor.
I watched Andor, but I think that came out around the same time as Book. I don't remember. It was after season 2 of The Mandalorian. And I was like, all right, Disney's just doing Disney things and just shoving as much content down your throat as possible.
Well, I bring that up because there is a particular plot device in the Book of Boba Fett that is literally spice. It is called spice, and they mine it in the desert of Tatooine.
Once again, Star Wars is just ripping off Dune.
And I was like, what is happening right here? Like, they're not even masking it anymore. This is just... I was like, oh my gosh, this is ridiculous. But I rewatched Book of Boba Fett not too terribly long ago. And I saw that and I was like, what? How did I miss that the first time?
How do you get away with that? Yeah. I mean, like, okay, so
it's not even like a fun name. It's just called Spice.
See, now you got me going on a tangent because you have all these other shows.
We have plenty have
Dune references and stuff. But like you're just gonna have actual spice farmed out of the desert of fuck off, dude. God damn it. Now I'm
saying
mad.
This. Sorry. I'm saying this as a big fan of Star Wars. Yes. They took a lot of important things from Dune.
Like everything.
Okay, cool. Well, we will end that here. That is all I got to say about this minute. John, let's get back here tomorrow. We'll talk about minutes 7 through 8 on the Dune Minute Podcast. See ya.